Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, we're here with Tell Del Tuesday. With us today is a couple out of Dallas, Texas, Shannon and Leland Hernandez, and they're going to share with us their experience. Welcome, guys.
How's it going?
How are you?
All right, who wants to pick this up and start with the story of how you guys discovered that you wanted to be entrepreneurs? Where did that start at in your life?
I'm going to let Leland pick that one.
Sure. So I guess it kind of actually comes back from my family lineage. My great-grandfather actually had the largest Mexican grocery store in Dallas during the 1920s, and that kind of stemmed from that. My dad had his own business. He passed away early, and I didn't get to inherit that, so then I kind of thought everything was over. Long story short, I actually was in commercial real estate as a tenant rep for a while, and then ended up working with my godfather doing electrical and AV work, so installing TVs, media rooms, smart homes, that type of deal. And then I am currently with a lighting manufacturer's rep, but I've kind of always done entrepreneurship and been a self-employed person. And, you know, once I met my wife and realized kind of what we had, we took a different avenue. And so that's how I got into being the entrepreneur on my end.
So, Shannon, on your side, how do you see this?
Yes. When, you know, when Leland and I got together, he first told me about Styles and just, you know, all the good things that it could be for us. And I had been in real estate since I was born because my grandpa and my mom were both heavily involved, and my mom still is heavily involved in real estate. And so it was just kind of like in my blood, so to speak. And Leland was really the one that said, hey, you know, we could do something more with this. And I was like, I don't know, maybe we can, but let's kind of sit on it for a little bit. Well, I'm glad we didn't sit too long, because now that we've gotten involved in Lifestyles, we've really taken what I have and what Leland has, and really, you know, grown it exponentially.
Well, who came up with the condos? I guess the story on your bio here starts with you owning four condos. Where did those come from?
So those actually came from my grandpa. Those were inherited condos that he, you know, back in the day was like, you're going to have these condos one day. You know, you're going to have your own business. And I was like, great. You know, four-year-old me saying, that's awesome. And so those were inherited. And as I've gotten older, of course, and as we've learned through the Lifestyles way, that, you know, condos just really aren't the best. And they really aren't in most situations, I would say. And so over time, we've, you know, been trying to sell them off, but that's where they came from.
Wow, that's pretty nice. Get inherited four condos. That's nice. Obviously, you inherited them in what I think I read was they were paid in full, right?
Correct.
So they're making money. Correct. Then. It had to be if they're paid in full.
Yes.
Making some money.
Yes, they are. Yes, okay. They were. And I guess you could say still are.
Yeah. So, Leland, how did you hear about us? If you're the one that led the family into this thing, where did you hear about us?
While I was out, you know, doing my 1099 job through my electrical stuff, I'd be in my truck quite a bit. And I actually heard you on the radio, on the AM channel. I was looking for, I think, a sports radio channel, and I heard something about real estate, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, I was on the tail end of it. It took me about another 2 weeks to finally figure out what the name of Lifestyles was, just because, you know, by chance of missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I actually heard about it, found out about it, and then I think you were talking about it last week or a couple weeks ago about how usually when people listen to you, they're actually kind of mad or upset or angry at you because it just doesn't make sense or they don't understand it. And I can say I was that guy, and I was like, no way this is true. And then I started thinking about it and listening and then comparing, you know, apples to oranges versus what I knew my wife has and how you're saying to do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're rolling something big here. We just don't know what or how to do it. And then through the course of listening, I've become educated.
You know, it's an interesting point you bring up. It's, could you imagine you wake up one day and somebody says to you, if you just would have wore a pink shirt every day, you'd be a millionaire? And you go, get out of here. That doesn't make any sense at all. You're stupid. That's crazy. It's, you know, nothing my parents ever told me, right? And you go, I just can't believe it. And it's some things in life are that radical, just that much different. So when you first heard about it, did you guys go to the 2-day together, or were you together at that time? How long have you been married? I don't even know that.
I'll take this one. So we've been married for 4 years, been together for almost 8 years. We met when we were in college. And so we actually went to a 2-day seminar together. And that's really where he got me on board after trying to convince me to go to this 2-day seminar for, I don't know, probably a year.
Boy, that's tough, man. That is tough. There's nothing tougher than trying to convince a spouse. I have a saying, I don't know if you've ever heard it being at Lascelles, but it's called Rule 1437B-7 in the Book of Life, which means no one will ever believe a thing you say once they've seen you without your clothes on, or more commonly known as familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, how could you tell me something I don't already know? You're my spouse. You know, I've seen you do dumb things, right? And so you can't tell me something important that could change our whole life. So it's really hard for a spouse. And I go through the same thing. It doesn't matter. You know, my wife was around when she was worth like 10 cents, and now she spends millions of dollars a year, and she still doesn't believe a thing I say. You know, it's just like, yeah, I know you. I've seen you in your slippers, you know? Come on. So it doesn't work. So let's go back to Shannon. Shannon, when you went to the 2-day, what aha moments did you have where it slapped you in the face and said, I better pay attention here?
You know, I think what it really was a couple of things. Of course, David Fisher was leading it, so it's always a great time when he's leading these seminars. But the first thing was the single day, or the single family first day, where we were really talking about the numbers and how you can really go from 1 to 10. You know, you can't get rich slow. That's one of our favorite slogans to use for Leland and I. And so that was kind of the first, like, flicker. And then I would say the next day, which we were talking about the multifamily, I started to realize what we really had between my 4 condos and things that, you know, money that we had saved up together, that we could really do this. This was truly an option for us. And I would say that was the biggest light bulb. Hearing him speak about these you know, ways that people have made this kind of money and how, you know, you can do it quickly, you know, not necessarily, you know, tomorrow kind of thing, but here's, if you stick to this plan, you can't go wrong kind of situation.
Yeah, that's interesting. The first point you made, I thought, was interesting. It's amazing that you can go to something that has so much information in it and be fun to listen for 2 days. Most people say, you couldn't keep my attention for 5 minutes, and David keeps your attention for 2 days. It's amazing what he does.
But, it is. He's truly gifted.
The next point I get out of that I think we should share is the fact that most people that already own real estate that go to the 2-day, the first day they're sitting there punching each other going, we do that. We do that wrong. Did you see a bunch of things that you could have done better with what you already have?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And Leland and I both were looking at each other like, you know, there's so many things that we could take from this and just really make a lot better.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, you don't get educated in business at school. They don't teach any of that stuff. When somebody throws it out there in front of you, just like you absorb it like a sponge, you go, wow, that was good to know. I wish I knew that 5 years ago, right? That type of thing.
Exactly.
So that's good. But the multifamily caught your attention, huh? What was it about the multifamily that really struck you? In fact, wait, I want to go back to one more point you made. I'm going to highlight these points that you made. You made some really good ones. The last point you made that was so good was we looked at what we had and we realized we had enough. I don't know how many people that I've consulted in 34 years that didn't realize they had enough money to buy enough real estate to retire. They just don't realize it. They don't think about it because where it's at in their life isn't making them that much money, and it isn't that effective for them. So for you to have that realization while you're there at the 2-day is really, it's a light bulb realization that, hey, we've really got what it takes. So you can put that plan together. You guys, we've got just 30 seconds left. What is your plan for how many years? Just a quick answer. Are you a 2-year, 3-year, 5-year, 7-year type plan?
Leland, you take that one.
Probably, as it sits right now, we're down to probably 3 years.
3-year plan. Excellent.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So we're going to take a break right now, guys. We'll come back and get back into this when we return. We'll be right back with Shannon and Leland Hernandez in the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Now a word on retirement from Del Walmsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60, then they said 64, then it was 65, then it was 66, then all of a sudden they jump right to 70. 70 is the new 59, 70 is the new 64, then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s, or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Shannon and Leland Hernandez, and they're talking about their membership here. They've been a member since 2017. And when you guys first showed up and took the two-day, Shannon, what was it about the multifamily? And Leland, you can jump in here if this is something you rather kick, but what is it about the multifamily that captured your attention?
I'll do just something short. I mean, really what it was just the sheer scale that you could do and make a business out of it and make, of course, a really good living while doing it. I'm sure Leland has his thoughts on it too.
Yeah, so kind of what you went back to, the aha moment on the single family, I was always confused, or I couldn't figure out, or I didn't know how you could go from one property to two to four to six and keep growing. Well, through the two-day, I found out how they do it. And when you do the 1031, you can basically go for a two-for-one, which is sell the property, do the 1031 tax-free exchange where you defer all your taxes. And that's what we ended up doing on one of our properties. But then on the multifamily, it was the scalability for sure, and how you basically can build the system big enough to where you just kind of tell people or help people figure out, hey, here's what happens next. They go do it, and you just kind of sit back. And that was, for me, I was like, that's what I want. That's what we need to get to, because we don't want to work for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, the problem with having a great business like your father had, a grocery store business, is what we call a turnkey business, which means if you don't get there every day and turn that key and open that door, it doesn't
exactly
make any business, right? So
exactly.
You've got to work that business, although you could eventually get to the point where you work on the business, not in it. But if you start with that in mind, you know, start with the intention that we're going to build businesses that we don't work in. Hey, I'm not a plumber. I'm not a painter, you know. I'm not any of those things. So if I just build that business knowing I'm not going to do those things, then you put those costs in and it makes it easy for you. So you started out when you came out of the two-day. Tell us what your approach was, because you've got a mixture of things. You've got three single families, which I think you sold one of your condos to get, and you've got multifamily passive deals. Fly on the wall when you guys walked out of there. What were you saying to each other? What are we going to do?
Yeah, so I'll take this one. So we actually went out of there, and our number one rule / thought process was we aren't asking for help from anybody else. So on the first deal, after the two-day, we used 100% all of our own money. So that way we could say we went out there and did it on our own, prove the concept, and make sure that this is actually a legit thing. And we ended up getting into the deal. Shannon actually was the one who gave the okay to go move forward. I was a type B on the numbers, where I was just doing the analysis paralysis. And she finally goes, then why are you saying no? And she was the one who actually accepted it and went forward. And that's how we actually got into it. But we were gung-ho for sure doing single family, because we wanted to, like I said, get our feet wet and prove the system works. And then from there, it's been gangbusters.
Excellent. Shannon, how about you? What was your driving force when the day you walked out of there?
You know, I think it was a lot of things. It was the first, of course, out of all of it was the fact that we just wanted to better our lives. We wanted to see ourselves not have to work 9 to 5 for the rest, you know, the next 50 years. It's just not who we are in general as people. It's, we were like, no, we're not doing this. And so we took the plan that was given to us and immediately started reaching out and looking for deals through, you know, the email blasts that were coming through. And the first day, or not the first day, but later on, there was deals that came through for a house down in Dallas. And I said to Leland, I was like, we're doing this. I was like, we're doing the numbers. He's checked the numbers. I've done the numbers. And I was like, this is it. I was like, pull the trigger. Let's go. And so, you know, that's how we've gotten going. And just doing that first one took that initial fear of, oh my gosh, could we fail? Because now that we've done that first one, it was like a rinse and repeat for the rest of them.
Okay. So you've done three single families so far?
Four, actually.
Yeah, four technically.
Four of them. Okay. Your notes only said three. That's interesting. So let's talk about the single family houses. What kind of cash flow do you have on those?
I will take that one. So on the first house that we had, that was the one from the email blast. That one, I want to say was around 460 something, somewhere around there. And then we sold one of the condos and did a 1031 and bought three in Fort Worth, brand new builds during the pandemic, while my wife was pregnant. And those, anywhere between, I think it's a 450, a 650, and then a 530 or 540 on those three.
Wow. That's quite a bit.
We were very busy in 2019, 2020.
Wow. I'm just adding this all up right here. That's 11, 16, 17, 19. Pardon me doing math on the air. This is radio, but you can't see what I'm doing. That's 8, 9, 15.
That's okay.
$2,190 a month, what I penciled out here, just doing it in my head here. $2,190
a month. High, but it should be between $1,600 to $1,700, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. We sold the Dallas property once we decided we needed to get out of that particular property so that way we could go and invest some more in some of these newer builds and of course, into multifamily at some point.
I got you. Okay, so that's why it's lower. All right, so let's talk about getting into the multifamily deals. When did you start doing that?
We did that at the beginning of, I believe, 2020. We had a conversation with our mentors, specifically Alex Clark in the Dallas office, and basically kind of told him where we're at, what we're looking to do, what our situation is. And he basically gave us the first steps of what we needed to do. And I was under the impression that, you know, type A personality of wanting to just go, 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 except when it comes to numbers, I'm type B. So I was thinking that we were going to be able to go out there and sell the other condos and it'd be all dandy. He kind of had to reel me in a little bit and say, that's wrong. And, you know, I had a gut check and he told me basically through the education that I'm finding out that it's better if we go passive on a few deals first. So that way we have a better track record. So when we go to purchase our own as an IRO, the banks, when they look at us, they say, oh, you have multifamily experience now. You're not so green. And it helps us on the lender side.
I've never understood that either. I just swear. I've had arguments with bankers for years. So why is it if someone's a passive in a deal, they get credit towards being an owner of a multifamily? But they give it to them. They say that's that adds credit to your resume, which is pretty interesting. Okay, so you did the passive. Let's talk about the passive. How did you decide which passive deals to get into?
Twofold. Number one is that we are on the younger side of our age. I'm in my 30s and Shannon's in her 20s, young 30s for me. And so we don't necessarily need the cash flow for a yield play right now. So we actually chose to do a value play. Yes, they're harder to find in today's climate, but we were fortunate enough to find two of them. And both of them, we spoke with the leads and just had good conversations, felt comfortable about it.
Well, we got to go to a break right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Shannon, Leland, and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise, tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Shannon and Leland Hernandez out of Dallas, Texas. And as we went to break, we were getting some information about how they decided on which multifamily deals they were going to go into. So you were going into how you picked your deals. I'd like to hear more about you picking the type of deals that you were picking.
Sure. So kind of what I was saying is that we're on the younger end of our age, so we don't need the cash flow immediately since we are also working W-2 jobs. So we chose to go towards more value plays, which ultimately should, everything going as they plan, should allow our money to grow quicker and not take as much cash up, in hand throughout the year. But this way we can build our reserves to go into IRO and develop our funds for the down payment. And then the way we kind of chose who we went with was, number one, it had to be a value play for us. And then number two, researching the leads, talking with the leads, and, basically proving their track record and something that we're comfortable with. And then we'd go into the numbers on the deal to make sure that it, it all seemed plausible and that they could actually perform on what they're saying they're going to do.
What kind of time amounts to do the turnaround on these value plays? Are you looking at a hold period of how long to get these things turned around?
Sure. So we have the smaller one that we're in is a 35 unit in East Texas, and it is, I believe, projected to sell in 2 to 4 years. And then we have a 236, I think that's right, it's 200 plus unit in South Dallas that we're in that is looking somewhere between the 2 to 5 year, potentially with doing a cash out. So that way we get our money back, but then continue to hold the asset.
Okay. So those are two pretty long-term views to be taking. And you said you had a 3-year plan. Is that coincide with when those deals are going to flip?
It does. And again, everything that we've looked at is super conservative. So that's why when they say 2 to 4 or 2 to 5, in actuality, from what we're seeing so far, it looks like it's probably going to be about 18 months to possibly 2 years to where we're going to get the majority of our money back. And that money wasn't necessarily designed to be used for the IRO down purchase. So that's really probably what we're going to use to just continue to, as a passive, but just continue to grow our funds in the passive deals.
That's interesting. So you've got other monies set aside for when you buy your first IRO. What kind of IRO are you thinking about buying? What size?
Right now, just based on our net worth, probably somewhere between the 8 to 15 unit. Everything, depending what's out there, that's probably where we're going to land at.
The prices in Dallas are going up radically right now. So you should have some really good capital gains on the two deals you're in. The stuff that you're looking at, 8 to 10 units, that's a really easy number of units to turn around if you can get your hands on a small set like that. And those should be very, very easy to turn around. I mean, I have an old saying, there's got to be 20 crazy people out there somewhere. So, if you got something less than 20 units, you got 400-unit apartment complex, you raise your rents $100 a door, you got to go get 400 people who are willing to bite that bullet, right? But if you get 20 units or less, there's 20 people somewhere that are willing to pay $100 more than what your tenants are paying right now. And so Right. They're pretty easy to turn those little things around. What's your timetable on that purchase?
We are hoping to, my goal is by the end of 2020, if not first quarter of 2021, to have that purchase.
You mean 2022?
I'm sorry, 2022. Yeah, sorry, my year was messed up.
Yeah, don't worry, when you get my age, man, you just can't remember what day it is even sometimes. So you miss a year, that's just a year. What do you guys think is going to be the logical outcome of this? Have you thought that far down the line yet? I mean, you're so young. I know I started when I was in my 30s, early 30s, so it's pretty similar. What do you think the outcome is if you keep doing this stuff?
I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of things. I think it's going to be us being able to give our daughter the best life that she could possibly have. And also where Leland and I can go do things that we want to go do. Right now, I have a great job. I just received a large promotion. And so, like, we're good on the W-2 side, but we've always talked about, you know, we don't want to be tied down forever. You know, we're cool for, you know, the next few, you know, 3 to 5 years kind of situation. But our goal is to be able to go and see the world, go and travel and just honestly try all kinds of different food, because who doesn't love food? And that's the biggest piece of this goal is we can do that. We can do that with real estate and do it quite easily, in a sense.
Wow. Food. Interesting conversation. I'm going to test you guys right now, because my wife failed in these two tests. First of all, what do you put on top of meatloaf? What is put on top of meatloaf when you cook meatloaf?
My mother did it with ketchup.
That's exactly right. My wife had never heard that. Never heard.
As I say, but ketchup is number one.
Yes, it's in every recipe, I think. You know, you've got to put a row of ketchup across the top of it before you bake it. Otherwise, it wouldn't look like meatloaf. Let's see. Here's the second one. Do you know what rhubarb is?
I do not know what it is, but I'm not familiar with it.
I got you. There we go. See, this is an old country boy coming out, you know, poor old country boy coming out here and talking to you about stuff that people from the country would know about. Rhubarb is a vegetable that looks like celery, but it's red. And they make rhubarb pie out of it. Yes. A little bitter. You know how bitter cherry pie is? It's got that same kind of bitterness to it. But it's just funny that, you know, you say, I like to find out about stuff. It's amazing to me that, you know, a grown wife that's lived her entire life doesn't know what those two things are. And
well, you know, I guess I lived a different life.
Yep, that is true. So she comes up with music things all the time. You don't know who that is? No, I don't have no idea who that is, right?
See, I can do that. I can play that game.
Yeah. So as you move on in life, you know, things change. Do you guys have any even inkling of how much money you can end up making if you started 30 years old? Do you have any idea? If you just keep doing it at a regular pace, in other words, you buy, you hold it for a few years, that one's ready to turn, you turn that, you buy more. Keep doing that from 30 until you get to be retired age, you know, and I say retirement age as in normal people's retirement. I retired at 34 years of age, but even not working, just doing the real estate, do you have any idea how much money you've made making?
So I've always had this dream of $5 million. For some reason, has always been, if we have that amount, that's just, we're set for life. And for some reason, the more and more I educate myself and I listen, I feel like that's an incredibly low number.
Yeah, it is really. In this day and age, almost everybody that tries this stuff becomes a millionaire within a couple of years. I mean, 2-3 years, they're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, it's just because money's so inflated now. But can you imagine making $250,000 a month?
Forget about how much money
you got in the bank. Remember, you don't use money. Once you get rich, your house is paid in full, your car is paid in full, and you're old, you don't go anywhere, you don't do anything. And money just comes in, and you just throw it in the bank, and it just starts piling up. So you go, I don't know what to do with this. Let me buy something else. You buy something else, you make more money. And it just happens. And one day you wake up, and you go, man, how did this happen? And that's the beauty of being young, starting young. So if people out there are listening to this right now, if you can get in here and get started in your 20s and your 30s, by the time you get to, I think by the time I was 40 years old, I was worth about $10 million. By the time I was 50 years old, I was worth about $25 million. By the time I got to be 60, I was worth about $75 million. But it just adds up and you can't even stop it at some point. You go, I'm going to spend that money. I told myself one year, I go, I'm going to spend everything I make on, I'm going to buy me a property. And I'm going to take that property, and every penny it makes, I'm going to find a way to spend that money. So I started taking Lifestyles members out to eat every Friday. We had road trips every Friday, right? And I'd take people out to eat. And it got to the point where everybody would show up after the road trip just to go eat. And I was paying 400 people showing up because they knew Dell was paying. And I go, you know, I'm done. That's it.
No more.
No more. It's over. So then I tried to buy a motorhome, and I go, I hate motorhomes because you got to take care of them, and you got to clean them, and you got to drive them, and you got to. I tried to buy a yacht, and the other thing with motorhomes, everybody in motorhome parks are old. And I tried to buy a yacht, and everybody owns a yacht is old, and you got to clean them, and you got to take care of them, and you know, on and on and on. And what's funny is that what you're going to realize very quickly, and the point I'm getting to, is that your ability to produce is going to exceed your desire to have at a very quick pace when you start as young as you guys are. So let's take a break. We'll come back and finish this off with Shannon and Leland Hernandez. We'll be right back to Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Shannon and Leland Hernandez out of Dallas, Texas. And they started in 2017 at Lifestyles, and they've already done very well. They've got four houses, 2 condos, and 2 multifamily deals that they're in. And guys, as we come back here, I'm going to take you a different line of thought. You said that your parents, both of you, were entrepreneurial on their sides. So let's start with the family. Was there any pushback from the family for you taking your inheritance and going out there and investing in real estate on either side?
There wasn't a huge pushback. I think my mom was, because she does more of the real estate stuff. My dad was like, well, I mean, you guys are going to live and learn. And so my dad was like, you guys do what you guys do. And my mom was more on the side of caution, but she was supportive. She's always very supportive of anything that Leland and I want to do and want to pursue. And I think that's just what makes her a great mom in general. And I think, you know, Leland can talk about what his mom has said to us, but I would say overall it's been very supportive.
Leland, how about on your side?
I wouldn't say there was a ton of pushback per se, but there was definitely some skepticism and, you know, making sure that we actually could afford it because, you know, when we started off, we were very broke college kids, for lack of better words.
We were literally right out of college.
We saved up. We're very smart with our money. We live well below our means. And that has allowed us to have this long-term view where we're at. But my mother is actually also my CPA. So she is very much into the details. And she can kind of point and say, hey, you're screwing up here, or you need to watch this here, or hey, you're doing good. So far, I have yet to have the, you're losing money conversation. So as far as that goes, I think she understands that I'm, trying to do what we can as best. And she also kind of said it, you know, I didn't get a master's degree, but I paid for it with education, and it seems to be paying off very well.
The lifestyle education.
Yeah. So you got a soft landing with the family. That's pretty good. What about friends? You guys are young. Your friends have got to think you're out of your mind.
It's funny. We actually, there's very few that we talk to our friends about when it comes to real estate because most of them just can't get the concept, which is, I think, the biggest hurdle that we face right now is we don't have a whole lot of people we can talk to about it and that get our mindset and how we can do it. You know, I mean, Leland, I think you have some things to say about that too because I feel like you had conversations with your friends.
I have one friend in particular who wants to go into business together. And I said, that's great. We'll set up the account, you know, get everything going. I go, we'll put, you know, a few 10,000 each and we'll go start with one house, see how it goes, go from there. And if everybody still likes it, we'll go from there. That was 2 years ago. And I still have yet to see that happen. And I love the guy to death. He's one of my absolute best friends. He was in my wedding. Love him. But it's just one of those that until you pull the trigger, nothing's going to happen. And I'm one of those that I kind of pull the trigger too quickly, but that's where it kind of balances out with my wife, is that she kind of reins me in a little bit, and we move forward at a correct pace for us. And, you know, the friends, that's what it is. But my sister, though, she wasn't necessarily with it, but she has actually rented out her house, and they're doing quite well with it. And they aren't a part of Lifestyles, but she actually calls myself and my wife and my mother-in-law sometimes to get, you know, our opinion on real estate stuff. So, I mean, it's one of those that it's kind of becoming a family affair now.
Yeah, let me ask you this just as a member. You started in 2017. We were still open in 2017, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you first came in, were you surprised how open everybody was about their personal finances?
Absolutely. And I even tested that. And I was, I guess, my wife would say a little too forward or too questioning. But I'd always ask, you know, the hard details, you know, hey, what do you make a year? What are your returns? What, you know, ask them the personal stuff. And I have yet to have someone say, I'm not going to share that information with you.
Yeah, everybody's so open with their information.
Well, the sad part about COVID is that, for us anyway, we still have members. We're still signing up members. We're still buying real estate. We've not slowed down at all. But there's no contact. And that's what many, many people found. They got as much out of this as what you were just talking about, a social event, to have other people to talk to, you know, about that which mm-hmm. you're interested in, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So luckily for us guys, we're opening back up again now. So
we are super excited.
Won't be long now. We're just getting the details taken care of, and the doors will open and the meetings will begin, and everybody will be back to sharing all those juicy details about the great deals they're doing. What's next for you guys?
So the next thing that's coming up is the IRO for us. Leland, hopefully we will be able to have him doing real estate full time by the end of 2022. I think it would actually be closer to mid-2022, but we're getting really, really close. So that's going to be a huge life change for us, but in the best way possible. And then I think, you know, going from there is just really enjoying the life we have with our daughter and, you know, friends and family, and getting back to this, you know, normal world that we need to see, and really looking forward to everything that we can get involved in Lifestyles again. I mean, I know that everybody keeps saying it, but all of us Lifestyles members are just, we love being together. We love, you know, getting together and talking, and I know that we're all really looking forward to that.
Any puppies, any cats?
We have two. We have two dogs. We have a German short-haired pointer. His name is Toby. And we have a little dachshund named Sadie.
I'm laughing because my wife just adopted a dog. She found a dog. And we got six cats. So these six cats are like, what are you doing bringing this dog in here? But the dog loves them. She chases them around, has fun with them. They have a great time. Well, guys, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. And I look forward to following up. You guys going to go to the expo this year?
Yes, we are. We are so excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be in Dallas there, so you guys are going to be right there. It'd be easy for you. I'll be up there for the whole time, so you guys can run into me and we can spend some time together. I'd like to put a face to a name.
Absolutely. We will be there.
All right, great. For the rest of you out there, remember this. Whether you're Shannon, you're Leland, or you're Del Walmsley, we're not doing it for the money. We're doing it for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.